This is Global Air Force.
So here's the thing about the Father. When he looks at you, he doesn't see anything wrong with you. He sees what's missing from your experience of him, and he's 100% committed to giving you that experience and that encounter. When the Father points to something in your life that's not working, he is pointing to the site of your next miracle.
And here's your host, Dr. James F. Rome.
Today, Bram Cook is sharing God's love for you and what it really means. You see, God wants to change the way you think. I'd like to start today by reading a verse out of Romans chapter 2, verse 4, and this is what it says in the Amplified Bible. Are you unmindful, actually ignorant, that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent? It's God's kindness that causes us to change the way we think. That's one of the meanings of the word repent. Here's Graham Cook.
That's me. Yay. Okay, if you have your Bible, if you could turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. Okay, get ready. I'm just about to read the Bible. We'll start at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, not of the senses, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience. That means we're going to get revenge on all our negative thinking that leads us to disobedience, right? Whenever your obedience is complete, you are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ's, let him consider this again within himself. That just as he is Christ, so also are we. The way we think rules our life. Our mindset is either a fortress for the enemy or it's a temple for the living God. A fortress is built to keep something out. A temple is built to invite someone in. The Holy Spirit is destroying speculations, theories, surmisings, guesses, pulling down any way of thinking that is against the true knowledge of who God is for us. Every thought leads you into some kind of experience. Every action is always preceded by a thought. So the Holy Spirit is pulling down any way of thinking that prevents us from having a true experience of who God is for us. He is empowering us into a way of thinking that generates the power of obedience. Speculation looks at things outwardly. It looks at things in the way that it affects us, in terms of our mind, our emotions, or our will. And the Holy Spirit is determined to restore our confidence in Christ so that we consider the issues from within ourselves through the inner man of the Spirit. Your mind is supposed to be a fortress, a place where you yourself cannot be taken. And it's supposed to be a temple in your thinking, where in your thoughts you are consistently inviting God to be who He wants to be for you. You know, stress is always an inside job. There are no external stressors. You can't say, oh, my job is really stressing me. Stress is not caused by an external thing, it's caused by an internal thing. Stress is caused by the way that you perceive something. You can learn to see it the way that God sees it, and then it's not stressful. Then it's peaceful. Then it's powerful. Then it's faithful. But when you take something that is external and give it power on the inside of you, you have brought stress into your own life. Stress is caused by the way that we see things. Our old nature is a product of our old place in the world. And when you make yourself vulnerable to that old place, you can become intensely negative, fearful, anxious, believing the worst. We speculate negatively most of the time. And then sometimes, if we're really good at this stuff, we can prophesy it into being. I can tell you now what's going to happen. Probably going to wreck this car next week. We prophesy it into being. We have a strong attraction to doubt in our old nature. We have a strong attraction to pessimism and unbelief. Stress is the result of all of that. Here's the key thing about your old nature. It's dead. Could you stop resurrecting it? Most Christians I know, until they get changed, they're all grave robbers. They're all going around digging up that old corpse every time something happens. Believing the worst, speculating through anxiety, fearful, open to bitterness and resentment. Old nature, dead, finished, in the ground, got a headstone, rest in peace, leave it alone, says the Lord. Our new nature is a product of heaven. It's the way that God thinks about us in Christ. You know that God has no bad thought about you? Because he puts you into Christ. So when he looks at you, he doesn't see what's wrong with you because he already knew what was wrong with you and he killed it off in Jesus. He made, you know, lists of all the stuff that was wrong about you and then he nailed it to a tree. So he'd never have to think about it again. Yeah? God has dealt with sin once and for all. He's not dealing with it anymore. Yeah? I have a question. Do you think the Father is a schizophrenic? Yeah, I do. I think that some of us do think that. That God is a schizo. That he's in two minds. That he doesn't really know what he's doing. That he could actually judge Jesus, punish Jesus, pour out the last ounce of his wrath and indignation on Jesus, and then forget all that and get angry with us. That's what we think in real terms. That God gets fed up with us. The idea that God is disillusioned with us is too funny for words. Because that would mean that he'd have to have some illusions in the first place. And he never has had any. He's always known exactly what you're like. And to be honest, you're not clever enough to surprise him. He's always known you. And here's the thing about you. You are too bad to be cleansed. You had to be crucified. So he killed you off. Thank the living God. You are so dead. I can smell you from here. You're dead. Nudge your neighbor and say, he's talking to you, dude. So here's the thing about the Father. When he looks at you, he doesn't see anything wrong with you. He sees what's missing from your experience of him, and he's 100% committed to giving you that experience and that encounter. When the Father points to something in your life that's not working, he is pointing to the sight of your next miracle. He's saying, let's do something about this. And what he's saying is, because you're in Christ, there is already an answer to this situation. Here's the thing. If you are in Christ, so are all your circumstances. Because we're not schizophrenic, unlike the Father. Right? If you're in Christ, then so are your circumstances. Because if you can't be separated from Jesus, neither can they. Read Romans 8. Can anything separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? And he gives these lists of things that might, but actually can't. Your circumstances are like you. They can't be separated from the goodness of God. So I guess you'll just have to try and tough that one out. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He's not angry because he's already done that with Jesus. So here's the thing. For God to judge you, punish you, or get angry with you, he would have to tread underfoot the cross of Jesus Christ. You really think he's about to do that? Because if you really think that, you don't know him and you probably need to get saved. And your family paid me to say that to you. Here's the interesting fact. All confrontations between the flesh and the spirit are a source of joy to the Father, because he loves being your deliverer. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. God isn't dealing with sin. He's dealing with your righteousness. He's establishing your righteousness. He's dealt with sin once and for all. He's not obsessed with sin. he's not an evangelical. He is consumed by life. God isn't a charismatic either. I don't think he understands either of those terms. You know, in his own kind of way of thinking, he just thinks there's only one people group in the body. How weird is that? I know. We'll have to help him out with that. He needs some of our theology. All confrontations between the flesh and the spirit are a source of joy to the Father, because he loves being your deliverer. He is so passionate about your freedom. He puts you into Christ. He puts you into the one place you'd always get your prayers answered. He puts you into the one place you'd always get your needs met. He puts you into the one place where it's absolutely guaranteed that you would receive grace. Grace is the empowering presence of God. If grace is only unmerited favor, then Jesus didn't have any. Come on. Wake up. If it's only unmerited favor, he never had any. The Bible says that he walked in the grace of God. He walked in grace. He had favor with God and man, and he walked in grace. And he grew in grace. So here's like the most perfect being ever growing in grace. Therefore, grace cannot be just unmerited favor. It has to be something more powerful. He grew in the empowering presence of God, in his thinking, in his heart, in his emotions, in his will, in his habits, in his character, in his nature, in his understanding of things, in his encounter and experience of the truth and the power of God. He grew in the empowering presence of God. That's what grace is. God loves us where we are, but he loves us enough not to let us stay there. So he empowers us to become like him. Every single thing in your life is about empowering to become. Every circumstance, every situation is about you becoming like Jesus, first and foremost. When we consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, something must shift in the way in which we view ourselves. Our thinking has to be remodeled. One of the, in Isaiah 61. Let me read this to you. This is in the Bible too. Let me read this. This is the manifesto of Jesus. This is the personal mission statement of Jesus. Isaiah 61 verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then these people, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you, you'll be called the priests of the Lord. You'll be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations. In their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you'll have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs." Instead means in place of, in preference to, an alternative against. The consequence of God coming into your life and shifting the whole way in which you think and view yourself, the consequence is something will rise up on the inside of you that will cause you to rebuild and to repair and to restore. And that whole destructive force that used to be at work in you now has been dissipated, and now this capacity to build and replenish and restore is rising up within you, so that the way in which you see people, you see them the way that God sees you. You treat them the way that God treats you. You are to them everything that God is to you, because the law of life in Christ Jesus is the law of love. That you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor, whoever you happen to be stood or sat next to at any given point in time. Love your neighbor as you would like to be loved yourself. And we are now subject to only one law, because Jesus fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant in himself, so there is no more Ten Commandments. Because it has been fulfilled in Christ, and therefore set aside. Now we only have one law, which is the law of love. That you love God with everything you are and everything you have, and you do the same to whoever happens to be next to you. No one is safe from being loved. No one's safe from a blessing. No one's safe from an encouragement. Not even your enemies are safe. The Spirit of God that is on us is all about restoration. It's all about rebuilding, restoring, replenishing. That is what we are doing. If you meet any Christian who is pulling things down or judging people, you're connected there with somebody who doesn't know who they are. When James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven, Jesus looked at them and said, "You don't know what kind of spirit you are." That's one of the prophetic motivations that doesn't make it into the new covenant. The calling down of judgment. Because now we are subject to a covenant that's grace-filled. Now we have to act in line with the good news of the gospel. It is incumbent upon us to understand that Jesus actually knew more than Paul. And the epistles, therefore, are subject to the gospels, because the word of Jesus takes precedence. So we must interpret all of Paul and the apostles' words through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really want to understand who you are, you need to read the Gospels first. Because when you understand who Jesus is, and when you understand the power in the message of the Beatitudes, then you'll understand that all the epistles have to flow in that self-same context. We're in the business of remodeling the way that we think, reinterpreting our situations according to the mind of Christ, changing our frame of reference in which a problem is first perceived, so that we are submitting it to who God is and the way that He thinks. We are destroying speculations. We're pulling down every negative thought so that our thinking may come into line with Christ in such a way that obedience is the result. That whole remodeling aspect in our thinking, it's a part of renewing the mind. There is no transformation without your mind being renewed. Most of us want new, but we think old. Our thinking has to catch up. You know, the renewal has not stopped. It's gone from our heart into our head. Right now, God is renewing the mind. He's renewed the heart. Now we need to renew our way of thinking about ourselves, about others, about oppositional people. We need to think again. If all your thinking has brought you to a place you don't like, have another thought. Because there's a better one out there. And in the Holy Spirit, being in Christ as we are, we have the power to choose better ways of thinking. He's changing our mindsets from the old self to the new self. Many of us are struggling to walk in the new self and not understanding that our progress is hampered because our thinking is still old nature. Your thinking has to become new nature. Otherwise, you're the enemy's close personal friend. And he knows he can touch you at any point. If your thinking is not renewed, you don't fully belong in experience to all that Christ wants to give you. We are being renewed in the spirit of our perceptions so that God can transform our thinking. I was talking to a guy recently who I'd just begun to get to know, and we were at St. Arbuck's having a coffee, and it's like our third visit, and he said, I just want you to know that I hate myself. I can't think of any good thing about myself. And so I looked at him and I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, which self is doing the talking right now? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, is it your old self or is this your new self? He said, well, I don't know. I said, dude, I know. Your new self would never use the word hate. And your new self would always have something good to think about itself. Because it would follow the dictates of Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever is good and lovely and of good report, think on these things. I said, so here's the thing. Right now, you are listening to your old self. You want to become a new person, but you're listening to your old self. We have an old self, and we have a new self that's renewed in knowledge, Colossians 3:10. Only the old self would use the word hate and be incapable of seeing goodness. I said, man, you're listening to the wrong voice. And there was nothing else to say. I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and he just said, O-M-G. Well, I've been listening to that voice all my life. I said, how long have you been a believer? He said, 9 years. I said, dude, you've got to stop listening to that voice. You're listening to a corpse. You're listening to a dead person. The enemy wants you to consider that your old self is alive. God wants you to consider that it's dead. He said, well, what do I do about this voice? I said, ignore it. It belongs to a dead person. You don't deal with an old voice. You practice listening to the new. Our new nature has a voice that causes us to rejoice, to give thanks, and discover the heart and affection of God for ourselves. The voice of our inner man sounds like the Holy Spirit. Scripture provides us with his voice indicators in Galatians 5. Let me read them to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's loving, it's joyous, it's peaceful, it's patient, it's full of kindness, it's edifying in its goodness, it's extremely faithful to our identity in Jesus, it's full of gentleness. And it empowers us to take control. It enables us to move in self-control, where we partner with our new self against our old self. Our new nature, with its new voice, takes control over the old self and the stress that it provokes.
That was wonderful, Graham. What a teacher. There's so much that we need to learn, my friend. So, until we meet again, go with God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. You can contact Dr. Rome or today's guest by logging on to www.globalairforce.net. Once again, the website is www.globalairforce.net.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding K1.
Would you like to have Jim Rome come to your group, church, or special event? Dr. Rome is interested in hearing from you. You can call Global Air Force at 412-466-5655. That's Global Air Force at 412-466-5655.